If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, just before we get started, don't forget that we're giving away 15% off to all of you listeners for all of More Lashes beer. All you have to do is go to the More Lash Brewery website, morelashbrewery.com, and put in the code RIGBIZ15. That'll get you 15% off and also a free t-shirt with Archie's face on. You're welcome.
More Lash, More Lash, More Lash, More Lash. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a new series. The World Cup is over, but yet we are still here, and we're joined by a huge guest later on. But firstly, Archie Curzon, you've had a manic week of Halloween, you've had a manic week of fireworks night. How are you doing?
Because baby, you're a firework! Come on, show them what you're worth. Make them go, ooh, ooh, ooh.
That was very good.
Baby, yeah. I'm a firework.
Yeah, well done. Yeah.
We were singing that on Saturday evening in Battersea Park.
So you went to the fireworks then?
Yeah. Had to.
Go on, tell us about it. As good as ever, or?
Yeah, it's always a good crew there. There's people from Marlborough, Radley. You've got the Harrow boys, the Eton boys, you've got the Cheltenham boys.
17 years on, you're still judging people by their bubbles.
The Stowe boys,
right, okay.
The Dulwich College boys.
Any beef?
No beef. Yeah, we're at the age, there's no beef. Everyone got on really well. There's such a lot of crossover, we do a lot of business.
Yeah.
Pretty much through that crew, we run the city.
Okay, cool.
But it was good, it was really good.
Bring the kid, bring
Johnny. No, because it's a good event to meet people. And if I met a girl, it's very unlikely they're going to have like a cot or even a travel cot that I can put up and put her in while we have more drinks and maybe snog.
Sure.
So she stayed at home, but it was good. Wrapped up, nice and warm. And the fireworks are, as they always are in Battersea, fabulous.
Amazing.
Oh, so annoying because I try to film so much good content.
Yeah.
Doing like little boomerangs, with the fireworks go in and out.
Yeah.
And, putting the fireworks and just letting people know where I was. Because the crucial part is letting people know you're at the fireworks.
Oh, 100%, of course.
No point going to fireworks if you're not going to film it.
No.
In my humble opinion, it's like going to the gym and not filming
but
it. How do we know you're working out?
But you missed the content.
Yeah, so, I got back, but it wouldn't load. There's so many bloody people there, so I couldn't load it. And I lost all of it.
Oh, God.
So it was a bit of a sour end to the evening because we got to the pub afterwards, and there I was trying to upload bloody content, and it wouldn't. And then my phone shut down, and then I was like, what was the point?
Yeah.
What was the point in the last 3 hours? And, one of my mates said, well, we had a good time. And I said, yeah, but, I can't wake up tomorrow morning and relive that.
Yeah, and no one knows you went. That's the worst thing about it.
So no one can message me saying, hey, I'm around. Yeah.
So I'm guessing there were no girls then.
No, after that, it really got me down. And I just went home. I got home about 11 o'clock because obviously I was out with you on Friday night.
Yeah, good fun.
A bit dangerous, because I was at Ruggers the next day.
But then you did make up with the wonderful red meat. And
We just had red meat. That's what I said to you. We're not having chips. Yeah. We're not having sides. We're just having the red meat and the juice, which is good. But I managed to get home and actually drank 3 2-litre bottles of water.
That's dangerous. Six litres?
Yeah, 6 litres.
Fuck me, that's dangerous.
The last litre, I regurgitated that. I purged out, actually. But actually, that got everything out. And actually, I felt pretty fresh in the morning. Played Ruggers and then obviously headed to Battersea Firework. I was in a really good mood until I got to uploaded pub my content when upload really annoying. I'm in a bit of a bad mood still because of it.
Oh god, really angry.
That's my new button I made when I got home actually.
So, Archie, today we're changing things up. We've had 10 weeks of non-stop Rugger, and I know you love your Rugger, so do I, so do our listeners, but we thought enough is enough for a bit. We'll still have a bit of Rugby over the next couple of weeks, but we want to change it up and get some new listeners in and some new people who actually follow you, because it turns out a multi-BAFTA award-winning actor, a multi-novello award-winning songwriter follows you.
Yeah.
Hugo Chegwin, aka DJ Beats from People Just Do Nothing.
Yeah, I reached out to him, as I do to anyone in the sports entertainment world. I sang to him O-Town Liquid Dreams, and he came back and said, yeah, let's do this.
Where?
I didn't know what he meant. I said, do you mean the pod? He said, do you have a podcast? I said, yeah, it's a multi-award winning podcast. Yeah. He said, I didn't know.
Okay.
I said, well, we do.
So he then said, you lured him in. You sort of blackmailed him.
I said, do you want to do it? He said, I didn't mean. He said, that's not what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
But I said, well, let's make this. And he said, okay.
Yeah, I'm not that up for it, but I'll do it.
No, he said, okay, over voice message. Really, I said, it. I'm going to take that as okay. Let's book you in. And here he is. You're welcome, Clapper.
Oh, wow.
Welcome.
Yes.
What's that?
What's
a
that?
A grinder. Is that a grinder? What was that?
It's not a grinder. Yeah, it's my camera with a weed grinder.
Yeah, nice.
No, it's like a fucking cap. Can we swear?
Yeah, mate, it's rated R. Mate,
listen, this is for rugby boys. I know a lot of rugby boys, and they swear. There's a couple of guys I was out with, actually, the fireworks in Battersea on the weekend, and they had potty mouths. I tell you, they were swearing left, right, and centre.
Oh man, I wish I had friends like that.
Yeah, you'd actually love it. They're really, really, really good guys, actually. And it's funny, I was saying to Hugo when I was messaging him on not on LinkedIn. But Instagram.
Right.
And I was saying to Hugo, I was at school with at least 17 Hugos, and all of them are really good blokes,
Yes.
And have gone on to do very well in life. I mean, no one works in the arts like Hugo there, all work in the city in finance, actually, in some kind of capacity. Some in shipping, some in insurance, but they're all really good guys. It's a strong name.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. A lot of people think I'm Portuguese. That's the sort of more circles I'm in.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. That's interesting.
They'll be like, well, it's like delivery drivers. Like, are you Portuguese? No, I'm not. Fun fact.
Well, I should say we are obviously absolutely delighted to be joined by multi-BAFTA Novello Award winning actor, musician, comedian, DJ, writer, MC, Hugo Chegwin. Known to most of you as DJ Beats from People Just Do Nothing, PJDN as the kids call it, apparently. You're not joining us from Brentford today, then?
No, you I don't moved live out. There.
Jesus, okay.
No, that's what happens when you become successful. Are you in Surrey?
No, I'm not that successful.
Okay.
Chegs, you did grow up in Brentford, right? Did you ever make the commute across South London to Clapham? Any sort of memories of growing up? Infernos?
I did. Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys know a lot about this, but Clapham had one of the first Foot Lockers, and it was the only place you could buy TN Air Maxes.
Yeah.
It was dangerous, so I went with my mum. Closed down now, but you know.
Yeah, no, they, well... The air has moved on. I think there's a Gale's Bakery there now, which makes a lot of sense. There's actually three Gale's Bakeries on that road. I don't know if you've tried the little salmon baguettes.
I have. I do. I like that. Yeah,
they are delicious.
Whole Foods.
That's where I do my grocery shopping. There or Waitrose, which is just around the corner.
I mean, I prefer Whole Foods if I've got the budget.
Yeah. Well,
which, you know, I don't know if you know what budget means, but.
Well, I think when I last checked what budget meant, it was when I was going off to Corfu. My dad said, listen, there's a budget here, okay? You know, I'm not a bottomless bank, so you set the budget.
Yeah.
And it was a good budget, really.
Like a grand a day or something.
Something
like acceptable.
Yeah, so it was basically, I think it was 500 for the day, not including lunch. So it was course, pretty handy. Yeah.
Lunch is, you know... Everyone has to pay for lunch.
Yeah. Well, lunch can get out of hand. A good lunch, especially in Corfu.
What was life like growing up in Brentford, though? Come on, it's a wonderful place now. You've got this whole new development. It's massively changed. You know, the football team going well as well. But what was like an average Friday night for you? Because for Archie, it's obviously, you know, sort of chicken, pre-rugby, maybe a night out on Saturday. But for you, what did a Friday night look like growing up?
What age were you looking like? 16, 17?
Yeah, when you get into trouble, yeah.
Just sort of smoking weed in parks or going to Chiswick, which, you know, where that was better because you know, it was a bit more clap for me.
Yeah.
Restaurants, better parks, better, you know, surroundings to smoke weed in a park, basically. Nicer women.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you find that any area in London beginning with C is normally quite good. Chelsea, Chiswick, Clapham. There's a place called Clapton, I heard.
Oh, yeah.
And good friend of mine. Yeah, yeah. There's some quite classy people there. Yeah.
There is.
Yeah.
Talking about weed, I mean, you're obviously best known for People Just Do Nothing so far in your wonderful career. But, you know, it's also been one of the most successful BBC shows over the last 20 years. It's amazing. We all love it. How did it come about and how big a part did weed play in it? Because I've, you know, watched quite a lot of interviews researching for this, and it seems like weed keeps on coming up as a sort of creative tool to not just bind you together, but also...
Binds our personalities, really. Yeah. You know, you find that thing, like rugby or lunches. Mm-hmm. It's sort of character defining. I guess, like, I grew up next to Steve, who's my neighbour, who plays Steve's.
Yeah.
Grindr in real life is my best friend. It is the Beats and Grindr relationship. Asim was, like, my good friend. We used to, like... make songs together. We had an idea and we all just formed as one, like a transformer.
I don't really get this kind of character based comedy, but or like documentary form. I've watched it and it is funny. Some of it's very funny. Yeah. So I get it. Yeah. I don't have that creative spark.
Well, you guys, you were also part of a real documentary, weren't you? Which some people did think was a mockumentary, a bit like People Just Do Nothing, but yours was real.
Yeah. It's completely 100% real.
Has Beats seen it?
And it's weird because you use weed as a thing to bind you together in terms of coming together, and we use pre-workout as a way to come together. But unfortunately, I will say, and I've said it every week now, like, I'm completely off it, and I know a lot of kids listen to this podcast. Don't touch the stuff. No, don't touch pre-workout.
Highly addictive.
Yeah, first and foremost, you think, great, this will get me through my workout. I'm a bit tired. I'm not that chatty. I haven't got that much confidence. And then next thing you know, you take a bit of pre-workout and you're the life and soul of the party. You can't get enough of the weights, but also you feel comfortable about talking about, you know, yourself, your past, your present. And next thing you know, you're in the gym. It's 4 a.m. in the morning and you've just been sat on the same bench press for 5 hours. And that happened to me several times. Thank God I'm off it.
Well, Hugo, you've had quite a dramatic sort of fitness journey, haven't you? Because first series of People Just Do Nothing, you weren't looking as wonderful as you are today. Did that involve pre-workout?
No, it didn't actually. If I'd have known that it works like that, then I'd have been on it.
No, the pre-workout I get from
from Medellin.
Yeah, it is actually in South America, the pre-workout I get. But it's pure pre-workout.
Hugo, am I right in saying that the People Just Do Nothing sort of
back to this serious interview, Carol.
All came together on a trip to Thailand. Can you give us some little naughty stories from what happened? You, Steve, Alan, you know, you're all out in Thailand. Surely something went on.
Like, we were just traveling, man. Like, it was I didn't really know where, like, in the world Thailand was. Like, and I think Sipa was the same. Like, on our first day, we had Burger King. And then slowly we got into the food. It wasn't that. We weren't those old sort of guys with, you know, like big polo logos about that life. We were just having fun. Island hopping. And 'cause I feel certain areas are like that weird vibe. And then there's like the traveler community. And we were more... that base.
No shows in Bangkok?
Yeah, we went to one, and we got like completely scammed.
What happened?
We basically went up the stairs, we were like, we want to see a show, and then they started demanding loads of money from us. We had to pay it, basically. And then that was the end of that. We were done with it.
Oh, there was no show?
A bit. But Steve started hitting the ping pong balls back at them. Like it. And then we got kicked out, basically.
This kind of nucleus, you're driven by pre-workout, you guys a bit of Jay, but it all started when you did Wasteman TV, and obviously it's been a creative output for you guys, but also did it hold you back in the sense that you only managed to do sort of, I think it was 3 or 4 episodes of 5-minute Wasteman TV, the first, you know, version of People Just Do Nothing over 2 years?
Not really, because we didn't do it for anything. We weren't like, oh, we're going to do this and this is going to be a career for us. We were like, just had an idea and wanted to sort of share it with our friends. That's why it's on YouTube, literally. Like, we had no intention or even thought process that this could be something until people started sharing it on Twitter at the time. And then we started getting messages from production companies. And then we thought, oh, this maybe could be something, but it's not like now you've got to be like two videos a week, constantly coming up with ideas. We didn't have that pressure.
Winners, am I correct in saying you never chased this? It sort of just happened. And the difference is these days, a lot of people just chase it by just posting sort of, you know, black and white videos on Instagram.
Yeah, maybe. No, I think it was a different time. People have had maybe more patience then. They would stick with a 15-minute video of, like, maybe there's like three good ideas in it, but they would stick with it. Whereas now you got like 30 seconds to impress max. And if they don't like it, there's like another guy underneath or girl underneath. There's so much entertainment. Like, whereas then, unless you had like Pirate Bay, like, there was a lack of it.
Well, Pro Green, Lily Allen, I think they're all early fans. But you used to be on a pirate radio before you started doing these videos anyway. So what was that like? I'm imagining sort of a drug-induced, so sort of similar to People Just Do Nothing, but maybe a bit more fun.
Yeah, a little bit. Nothing glamorous at all. Like, I doubt anyone really listened to it, but it was more just like exciting. You're going into like an abandoned building, or you're going into like a phone shop with the shutters down. It was just like, I guess, adventure.
It's similar to like when you get a touch rugby game going on the common, and you just start off with like maybe two aside, and before you know it, there's seven aside, and it's just happened, and you just like, it's a bit, you know, you don't know some of the players, but it turns out to be a great game.
Well, Archie, I know you used
similar
to do,
analogy.
Archie, you used to do some rugby university radio.
Yep.
But are you familiar with sort of how to MC? Do you like garage music?
Yeah, I love garage music. Big into the Artful Dodger back in the day. That album was good. I like the song Hardcore. You know the score. I Run So Good Deserve an Encore. I love Busta.
Don't think that's Garage. Like,
is that Garage? No. That's Garage? There's not
Garage. Yeah. Hardcore. Cool. Yes.
That's it. Okay,
run it in my brain.
It is Garage, yeah. Okay, so. And I liked Harvey from the So Solid Crew. His first album, it clicked with me.
Okay.
It spoke to me.
Well, okay. Yeah. Hugo, you are an MC, you are a musician. Can you give us a favour? Because we want to get something out of Archie here creatively. He's, you know, very conservative, very middle of the road. Can you just give us a sort of 30-second example how to freestyle in garage, and then we can see what Arch can conjure up? I mean, he does have a top 10 to his name. He does have a top 10 Christmas song in 2020. We came 10th in the charts. But can you just give us just a line?
I don't write the lyrics.
Okay, you have to freestyle, but just give us a line.
Okay, what, like in a garage voice?
Yes, please.
Like, rish out the sound. Yeah, that's
okay. One more time for the clapper, massive. Is that sort of same?
Got it. You've got wicked host parties. Yeah.
Okay, Chegs, your amazing tune, Monday, is the day that we roll. If you hit the Monday through the weeks, Archie will come back, okay?
Okay.
Let's go.
Monday
is the day for BD.
Tuesday
is I'm making money.
Wednesday
I work and then I train.
Thursday
it's the net in the rain.
Nice. Friday
a lunch in the city.
Saturday
I lead the boys to victory.
And we don't do the Sunday line.
That makes sense, actually. Sunday,
man, that was pretty good.
Sunday is for meal prepping and just switching off, and probably wearing some rugby shorts and a North Face jacket in this kind of temperature, and going for an oat.
What's
flat
that
white
rugby brand? I don't know what it is. It's not Cotton Traders, so that is quite rugby.
Yeah,
Canterbury.
It's like Free Little Circle. Hot.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, Canterbury.
The Canterbury, and they're little C's. They stand for chat, chassis, and coin.
Nice. Is that a premium? Is that like Supreme Palace kind of?
It's
like,
it's pretty top, good. They're tracksuit bottoms. You know, one of my favorite looks is, you know, like, I'll get up. I'm normally quite hungover on a Sunday.
Obviously.
And then I'll just chuck on some flip flops and wear some like some Canterbury joggers.
Yeah.
And they'll be slightly undone at the bottom. And then I'll just chuck on like a hoodie, a Jack Wills hoodie, or like a just a Jack Wills jumper.
Is Jack Wills still about?
Yeah, that is premium. That, you know, you rarely meet a bad bloke wearing Jack Wills. And then what you do is, Oogs, is you just wear your beanie. Hold on. As far back as it allows you, and then
keep the back of the head warm.
Yeah, because that is where you let all your heat out, And that's just a nice look. And then, you know, if you just walking around, you might see.
And Ray-Bans,
yeah,
I reckon.
Yeah, or aviators.
Yeah. And the wraparounds are for like sports.
Yeah, that's when. When you're doing your 25K runs in the morning. That's a really fun thing too. If you fancy it, I've got a couple of guys. I'm trying to get into some running content. If you've got a good arm, I don't know what your arm span's like, but to get the
average,
yeah, that'd be difficult because we need to get the content. We need long arms because what we do is we run with your arm out like that. But let me know. I mean, there's loads of stuff we do in Klopp.
25K, wow.
Yeah, but we've got the packs here, so you have your
water.
There.
And then weighted.
Yeah, they're weighted, but that's good because you're burning more calories. I dial that into my Apple Watch, and then I'm monitoring that as well. So it's a busy run because I'm monitoring that, monitoring my circles. I'm also getting content, and then obviously you've got to take on my supplements. So a lot of the time it's an endurance really.
What do you do with it, like Omega? I know it's not Rolex is tacky. I get it.
Oh, no. Rolex is still there.
You have
there.
To have a leather strap with it, not...
Yeah, yeah.
Not Submariner.
Watches are one of those things that I'm... Hulk. You know, I love. You know, I did think about buying a property in Clapham, but then I just bought another watch.
Another one.
That's an What'd investment. You get? Got a quite a rare Rolex that I actually don't ever wear because... But it's a good talking piece, actually, for lunches with clients.
Well, you can wear them out of London, if you're in Surrey or something.
Yeah, in Surrey, you're playing a nice golf club where it's a gated community. And, when you're amongst your own, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's fine. You're totally stepping.
Yeah.
Or in Greece or...
Yeah, or if you manage to get a table in Megan's you're inside a Gales. That's the time to wear it.
Fine,
where you know the door is going to be a hard exit for them with, you know, you're surrounded with
heavy doors.
With other people who like small salmon bagels. It's hard that they're going to be able to make it. The queue's so big because there's so much goodness. They're going to get in and get out without having
a
kerfuffle.
And you've got a boiling hot latte as a weapon.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. I will get them with boiling hot oat milk. And that will surge their skin because of the sugar content in it.
There are a lot of calories in oat milk.
There are. I was having this conversation this morning actually because I'm a driver, did you say? No, not my driver. I'm a single father, so I was talking to the nanny this morning. I had the baby. I had Johnny Jono on the oat milk, so I thought that was better for you. But it turns out it's high in sugar. So
is that your tip of the week? Avoid oat milk.
Avoid oat milk, and also I do find the creatine in the actual if you get full fat milk is good for the baby. Big girl now. She's getting big.
Can we quickly go back to the music, Chase?
Let's get back to this interview.
Talking about music, acting, writing, something no one really knows about you, or I didn't at least, is you've won sort of two Novello Awards for writing, right? I mean, that's incredible. So how did you get into writing for Sam Smith, Pixie Lott, Emily Sandé? I mean, how did that come about?
I've always just made like beats, like rap beats, loops, ideas, like since I was... I don't know, like 14 maybe, like a little therapeutic escapism. Mm. And then my friend worked at Virgin Records, who's now manages Sam Smith, Disclosure. I'm not sure who else anymore, but he was like, he basically was like, your ideas are really good. Let's put them to action. And then sort of got, not by him, but by others, pushed into like making pop music. I did enjoy it, but I just don't listen to pop music. I don't enjoy it. It's not something that I found fun after a while. And if it's not fun,
don't do it.
Not doing it.
Have you been on a night out with Sam Smith or not?
I have.
Good fun on the night out. It seems he's changed.
Yeah,
it
was fun. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what you're getting.
New York.
That's what you're getting.
Okay. Well, he seems like he's exuberant.
You're being a bit like Lorraine Kelly now. Okay. Calm down.
But talking music, obviously you got to work with Sheeran, Craig David, Post Malone. Any sort of stories from those experiences? Because it looked like Post Malone was completely insane, right?
He's definitely an eccentric character for sure. But not really. Like, he's really nice, friendly, accommodating, like nothing mad. I haven't really had any crazy experiences with those people.
Was it weird going to his house though? Because apparently he was sort of fully armed to the nines.
He was very armed. Yeah. He had a, like, his living room table was just full of t-shirt, like gifted clothing, which I thought was pretty cool.
Did he let you fire his guns or not?
I did pick one up. Had like a pearl handle with a laser on top.
Oh, that's very cool.
I think the eccentric people are the best. My friend Rufus, his dad, is very eccentric. He smokes weed.
Wow.
And they live in the countryside. And again, very similar. Big old pad. He's got, I think, 36 acres. And again, no. They're armed to the nines. They got shot. They've got a shoot on their land, so they've got guns everywhere. So yeah, and he's very eccentric. You know,
he'd get one post Malone then.
I think he would. I mean, his dad's done remarkably well. His parents left him a fortune, and he's managed to maintain that house quite significantly.
So
well.
The inheritance is
just the shoots alone on that land. It provides good income for the year, he's very eccentric.
Yeah, very, well, he's got like three Labradors or something.
Yeah, no, he's got two Labradors. Okay, six Cocker Spaniels, and a parakeet, and he's. I put it this way. You'll know exactly what I mean. He has a pair of bright yellow corduroyed chinos. And wow. he'll go down, you know, but it doesn't matter what kind of time in the year he'll be wearing them. And he's very, very eccentric. Yeah. So no, they're the best people. They are. Yeah.
I agree.
Not for me. I prefer someone straight and narrow. You know, I prefer someone, you know, who's going to get on the Northern Line at exactly the same time every day. That's my kind of guy.
Structure.
Yeah. I've forged friendships. From there, there's the 6:34 crew, we call ourselves. We always get on at the second last carriage at Clapham Common, 6:34 every morning. And 3 years ago, we didn't know each other. And now we've known each other for 3 years. Seven of them have been married. I've been to five of those weddings. Two of those weddings, they're divorced. amongst us, there are 15 children. Quite interestingly, there is 112% body fat between all of us. It's mainly from one guy who's since he's divorced, he's piled on the pound. Yeah, he's absolutely a mess. Shambles.
Well, if he's listening.
He's a big fan. A big fan. Big fan of Ugo and a big fan of this podcast, which is globally award winning.
It is.
Comedy sports podcast, which I don't get the comedy side of it. I get the sports side of it because we're cutting edge.
Sleep, child. Feel the pain of my troubled history. They'll wipe my memories. They'll tell me my past is a mystery. What is life without victory? Why are you hating on my family tree? Please enlighten me. How to take a break in this world so mental? Cause I've had enough. But then beer 52, they'll save the day. Give me some relief from my lonely hours. They'll tend to me. With a case of free beers and snacks, I'll escape eventually. This is delicious beer. It's making me feel the best. And those snacks are so healthy. Yeah, of course they pass the test. And all this for free. You can tell it's fate, you can tell it's fate. A free box of beers, claim yours now before it's too late. A good idea, well this is meant to be. All you gotta do is click on the link in the bio to get an entry. Or go to beer52.com/rigbeers to get hold of your free beers.
What sports do we cover? Are we talking sports today?
Yeah,
rugby, cricket, football, tennis,
ruggers,
acting, music.
We ruggers, football, cricket, fencing. We've had.
I don't know about football. What football team do you support?
I call Kevball. I don't watch football. More rugby. Rugby guy me.
Do you like sport?
Not really, but I like sport documentaries.
Well, you've had one. You should watch Archie's. He's got a documentary on YouTube called "Don't Drop the Egg."
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's going to be my new thing.
Yeah. It's cutting edge.
Strive to survive sort of levels.
Yeah. It's got some pretty deep moments. Yeah. But what about Ruggers, Hugo? Have you had much interaction with Ruggers? Have you come across James Haskell, the DJ? He's fairly successful.
I feel like I know the name.
Yeah. He's a big DJ. He used to play rugby. He's a very big DJ now.
Do you like his stuff?
I love his stuff. I'm into it big time. Yeah.
Hugo, talking about becoming big, obviously when you guys run the show and it became sort of the biggest show on TV, you went from BBC Three, from iPlayer, to BBC One, you guys were, you know, all over the place. Did you get some weird requests? Did you get some weird DMs from your followers? I mean, suddenly you become one of the most known faces in the UK. Archie suffered from it as well, but you must have had some weird requests coming into your inbox.
I just mainly get like guys that want to smoke weed with me, really. Predominantly.
Did you double down? Did you become a bit of a celeb? Did you go through all the cliches? Did you start taking more drugs, partying more? Did you quite enjoy that?
Not really, man. Not really. Looking back in hindsight, I should have gone mental.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
Who did any of the boys?
No, because we're like tight knit friends, really. So no, I mean, maybe if we couldn't get an Uber, got an Addison Lee.
Yeah.
That's as wild as we get, really.
Yeah, fair play. Even when you go on these tours.
I mean, people get drunk and party. Like, nothing too wild.
I've got 90,000 followers on Instagram. And, unbelievable. And you know...
I saw you on a... Virgin paid for you to go on a cruise. How was that?
Yeah. They're yet to pay me. And yeah. I was
you got the cruise. That's, you know,
it was great. It was really good. Really.
Did you see anyone else from Clapham on there?
No, I did not. I saw Big John. Big John, he goes Bosch.
Yes,
yeah,
you like
yeah,
to
take yeah. Chinese. Yeah, and he's bloody talented, that guy. fair play to him. No, because the way he does it, the way he holds himself. Nothing's affected him.
You should say the cruise ship never actually left the dock, did it?
No, it never left. And
oh, right.
Yeah,
it was... three nights on it.
Yeah.
In
there was what? Me and South then... Bank. It just stayed in port, and it was just me, CEO Clapham, Chief Chain Officer. For me, I'm comfortable. I went to boarding school since I was 7, so I'm very capable in those surroundings.
Good,
but there were also 500 people who had also got on the plane at Stansted and looked like they might live near Stansted.
Well, you should tell them about the lady. Come on, tell them about the weightlifter.
No, well, we talked about it. I got with a weightlifter on the boat. It was a drunken night. She was a powerful lady.
She picked you up.
She did. Well, we went in. If you do a jerk, clean, and snatch, we went through that in the bedroom. And
what's that look like, though? For those who don't know, I don't know what that means.
It's just, you know, the way you pick up a bar, you put it to your chest, and you lift it up above your head. And
And if you did a CrossFit on you,
yeah. And if you do it lying down, that's sexual. Right. That's sexual.
Okay.
For me, I don't know. I'm probably the rare minority. I've always said it on the pod. Like, I prefer dry humping than having sex. And if you're using that momentum, there is something quite kinky about that. Yeah. So you don't actually need another human being to get the. You could just do it against, like for instance, you could do it on the corner of your bed.
So there was no penetration.
No, I don't want to go into the mucky details. Okay, let's just get back to this interview. Yeah, it's just a girl. I mean, I've probably she's a lovely girl, and yeah, we're grabbing a tie in Clapham on Thursday, but it'll be great.
She's not from Clapham, though, is she?
No. She's from Walthamstow.
Walthamstow, wow, it's quite far.
Yeah, it's quite far. But apparently she can get the Vicky line down, and then she changed the Stockwell. She's it pretty quick and easy. Yeah. And we've gone, I don't know if you know, Clapham's gone overground as well, and a wonderful bus route as well. So
you get the Brentford on it.
Yeah, you can. Yeah. Yes, you can. And interestingly, the Clapham Junction is one of the busiest train stations in the UK.
Well, Brentford's just a stop away from Twickenham, so your life must have been ruined quite a lot when you were growing up on those Saturdays during the Six Nations.
Yeah, it's annoying.
Have you ever been to Twickenham?
The place? I've been to Twickenham. I haven't been to the stadium.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Put it in the diary. Let me write this down.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to send Oogs an email. We'll connect on LinkedIn. And then what I'll do is, you must come for a client day at Twickenham. You'll absolutely love it.
I love that. What do we do at a client day?
What do you do?
Well, we meet in Richmond, bright and early, bushy-tailed, 9 a.m. And we'll have a whiskey to start the day to warm the cockles.
Yeah.
Then we'll have a nutritious breakfast, obviously high in protein, low in carbs. You want to make sure you're getting those gains, but you're full because get prepared. You're going to have a number of Guinnesses that day, which will supplement your carb need. Then we will steadily make our way up the river towards Twickenham, which is a wonderful, wonderful walk. Many, many stops. We'll discuss the game in detail. Not just the game we're watching, but the games previous and past, and also
how the season's going. Sort of thing.
Yeah. And you know, talk about the hot topics. You know, what are we going to do about the amount of kicking in the game? We'll discuss those. Then we'll probably get down some business. You know, ask the questions. You know, so you go. You know, how is work going? How is, you know, what are you doing these days?
No idea.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But you know, we'd get to the crux of it, and then I'd be like, I was looking at your somehow I came across your LinkedIn page, and I realised you're connected with Robert Golem. Is that someone you work with? That kind of conversation. Turns out Robert Golem went to school with you. Turns out that actually I want to do business with Robert Golem. The day is a success You then, after the day, you've had a wonderful day at the rugby where we drink a lot of alcohol, we chant, and then we finish the day not really remembering it, manage to get back home, and in the morning I'll send you a text saying, please do send my regards to Robert Golem, and if you have his number, I'd love to speak to him. You send me Robert Golem's number, and I end up doing business with Robert Golem. And to thank you, at Christmas, I send you a hamper from Fortnum & Mason's.
Okay, right. You get something out of it.
Yeah. And I sort of write, by the way, we're off to Chamonix skiing. On March, if you and the family are out there, we'd love to see you.
Hugo, in the show, your stepdad to Craig, who's a giant of a man, real name George Keyword.
Bardo.
Millions of followers, right, on TikTok. Of all those who've been on People Just Do Nothing, he's gone on to get the biggest following. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But what do you make of his career? I mean, he's feuding with Piers Morgan on sort of primetime TV.
Hitting me with those questions.
Yeah, what do you make of it all?
Oh man, I don't know if he puts a good argument. I don't know if he's the right person to have those conversations. I mean, maybe he is. He, you know, he eats a lot.
Are you worried about the size of him? I am. I don't know him.
Yeah, I am. I am. But he's a grown man. Obviously, I might message him sometimes and say, maybe chill out on the pints of Red Bull, and you know, I can't force him to.
His wife's quite good looking, unbelievably.
Yeah, yeah.
Not unbelievably. There's a, you know, if...
Hey, man, we've all got our niches.
Yeah, I tell you what he would be. He'd be bloody good at rugby.
He would be good, yeah.
Bloody good at rugby. Good. Crash ball onto him. You're not stopping him at pace.
Stick him at the back.
Yeah. By the way, reach out to him. I'll see if we can get him a game for the Clapham Falcons. He'll bet he'd be a good guy. And tell you what, he could put the pints away. he'd be good for the night out.
Take you down. He might only manage to get maybe one person a game, but they wouldn't play for a while.
Yeah, that's fine. You get him in, he'd be sort of, okay, look right.
Tell me that he can't fit in his shower.
No, he's huge.
Is he really that big? Yeah, no, wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Oh, his car.
What's wrong with the world?
I don't know. Hugo, obviously you've got to meet an incredible amount of famous people through your job. What is the coolest sort of fuck me moment you've had throughout your career? Being like, Jesus, how am I here?
I think at the BAFTAs, like, you know, seeing like Louis Theroux, Phil from EastEnders, like sitting in front of Robert Downey Jr., Cuba Gooding Jr., a junior.
Yeah.
Just being around like people that I guess... they're like real celebrities to me.
You guys had 5 series of incredible success. One of the best shows ever. 3 years after the series finished, they say, fuck it, let's do a feature-length film. Let's all get out to Japan. What was it like being out in Japan? I mean, how amazing was that experience? And any trouble out in the Japanese nights? I hear the karaoke is loose and the Japanese guys, we've had a lot of rugby guys in here who now play in Japan, and they go, the Japanese get on the piss more than anyone in the world.
They definitely do. No trouble. But when you film in Japan, if you want to film in certain areas, you got to, not us personally, but the production company have to pay off like Yakuza and stuff, which is kind of cool.
Do you have a family, Chase? Girlfriend? Kids?
Yeah, got one boy and one lady.
How old's the boy?
He's 5.
Wow.
The boy.
Okay, so he's got a bit of chat.
He does. He's a character for sure.
My 1-year-old just doesn't really say anything. It's annoying. Fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, not what I imagined.
Put them in front of a screen till they're 3.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've been doing. Well,
that's good parenting.
Yeah.
Well, screen, gaming, sugar.
I've got a nanny. And we had obviously Halloween the week just gone. And where I was. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of the sugar. You know, I don't believe in it.
Too. Well, no, we don't eat sugar. They do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, because the kids on the street, I had just boiled eggs.
What? When people came trick or treating?
Oh, what? Give them. Yeah, yeah, nice.
And I just, on the eggs, on the eggshell, I'd written down why this is good for you.
Yeah, or like a bag of whey protein or something.
Yeah, no, I just had that with a straw in it. And I said, yeah, knock yourselves out, off you go. Shaken. Yeah, yeah.
All like that.
Yeah. And then I had little baggies of pre-workout for the adults.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah.
Expensive Halloween.
Yeah, and I was dressed because I'm obviously a single dad. I thought, you know, this is my opportunity because, you know, you never know who can knock on your door. I went as a scary Frankenstein if he was going swimming. So it's just a pair of budgie smugglers. Topless. Nice. And I'd open the door and I'd say, where's your, and then I'd say to the, because they'd normally be the mum, where's your daddy?
Oh my, that's creepy.
And then they say he's in the office. I say, all right, just take the eggs and fuck off.
Right. And if the parent,
you should, then I'd be like, whoa, what's your Instagram handle?
Yeah, I need your full name and Instagram handle.
What's your address? Yeah. How much did he leave you in the divorce?
Nice. Okay. Yeah. You, company's house.
Would you like to come for brunch with me at Gail's? Ooh, spooky salmon bagels.
Till it's a Costa.
Costa, you meet them in a Costa if you just want to have a quickie. If you just want to have a bit of a dry hump. But a Gail's is...
you Costa, Nero, Starbucks, Gail's.
Yes.
What are your plans for the future? I mean, you've obviously been in a couple of great shows since People Just Do Nothing. You've won a couple of Novella Awards, a couple of BAFTAs. I mean, come on. You've done it all. But what's next?
It's just working with the guys. Like, I think... this is just my opinion, but I think you go off, you try other things, and you realize maybe that, you know, what you have with your friends is special. Maybe develop ideas with them.
Are we going to see some more People Just Do Nothing? Yes or no?
I couldn't tell you, sir.
Yes or no, Hugo? That wasn't one of the options.
Right now, no.
Ooh. In the future?
I don't think Cropped FM ever dies.
Craig David.
Fuck, man. No chat.
Alan Mustafa.
Chat.
Steve Stamp.
Chat.
Ed Sheeran.
Chat.
Post Malone.
Chat.
Azim Chowdhury.
Chat.
Daisy Ridley.
No chat. I didn't really chat to her.
Mike
no chat.
Skinner.
Chat.
JK. G.
Incredible chat.
And finally, Mo Gilligan.
Yeah, of course. Chat.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. Sorry for asking. Mike Skinner. Sorry for blame chat on OJet with fucking
RBS. Yeah, I got offended by that and I shouldn't. I don't know him that well.
Hugo, thank you so much for coming on, mate.
Thank you very much. Hugo, thanks for having me.
Love and champagne. Love and champagne.
Well, that was certainly a change up from rugby, wasn't it? Yeah. Different kind of banter today.
Yeah, yeah. Good laid though. Back. Laid back vibe. Yeah, yeah. I you tend to find people from Brentford are a little bit more laid back.
Have you ever been to Brentford? We forgot to ask that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been through Brentford on the Hammersmith Flyer.
Oh, yeah.
You go out through Chiswick. Some wonderful advertising space there.
Yeah.
And then on to M4. And
heading
then,
down to Oxford, Bristol, whatever.
Yeah, Gloucestershire way. Got a couple of friends who got their parents got houses out there. We normally go for a long weekend. So, yeah, no, I've been through it quite a lot of times because I've got a lot of friends who live out that way. So, yeah. So it's, nice area. I haven't actually been in Brentford. Looks a bit, but I've been through it.
I love to boast about my life on LinkedIn. LinkedIn loving. Tell you how much cash I made today. LinkedIn loving. I'm off to the wall, see. Drink champagne.
So Archie, the fans keep on asking for it, and we are bringing it back.
It's
LinkedIn lovin's. Okay.
I love that the opening tune.
Yeah, LinkedIn lovin's.
It is
really
good. Hold on, mate. That deserves a.
That's seriously good. Chat.
And actually, because it's back.
Another one.
Okay, thank you so much. But let's crack on
with it. So annoying we don't have sponsors this week.
Because we've been scaring.
Those buttons are such good fun. I'm tempted to press one.
No, don't.
I'm going to press
one.
No, don't. All right, that's.
Shit, well, you could use the Beer 52 one.
Are they sponsoring this week? Oh, perfect.
Free Lash, Beer 52, mate.
Well,
I love that pun.
Yeah, that was good.
It's quite interesting that we've done a start of a section and we've just gone all off on the buttons.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is what we do.
That's what happens. My fingers are a bit twitchy today. Hold on.
Another one.
Well, Archie, there's a lot going on because we have scoured your network and we found three weird but wonderful posts from your network, probably friends of yours. You know, it's a crazy time in the world right now, but this is what's going on your LinkedIn. So let's get your reaction, starting with Chris Ritson.
Ritzy, what's he saying?
He just did a simple post, two lines. He said, "I made a shitload of money this year, but my wife doesn't care."
That is so Ritzy. If you knew Ritzy, that is exactly what he's like. He's always talking about money and always hates his wife, which is funny enough. I think 80% of the city is like that. They love money, but they hate their partner. That's why a lot of people cheat.
But what
about a lot of people cheat?
Okay,
that's why I decided not to get married, because I just know I'll end up cheating.
Okay, well let's.
I will get married.
Yeah,
eventually.
But then you'll cheat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's move away from that because that's quite dark. But the next one is Luke Matthews. Seems to be a good friend of yours. You've interacted with a lot of his posts.
Oh yeah. I know. Where's he work again?
He works in insurance at Brit.
Yeah. I know, really. I've had a couple of lunches with him.
Yeah.
Very, very funny guy.
Well, he said yesterday, "Sometimes I write content naked. Why? Because my posts perform better when my writing taps into a deep truth I'm trying to convey."
Yeah.
So basically, the more vulnerable and raw I get, the better my posts perform on LinkedIn, the more leads I get. Currently writing this post, sipping a glass of whiskey. And yeah, this truly isn't Facebook, it's LinkedIn. And I know it scares some of you, but I will drive a high quality lead from this post, I promise you. Will I lose a few followers? Of course. I mean, it's a pretty bloody weird post, but hey, it's the truth, and well, it works. So great actors go to extreme lengths to get into their characters. Why can't I get into the same? I'm going to keep doing it, but maybe only on Saturdays. And yeah, a selfie wouldn't be appropriate. This is LinkedIn, but it ain't OnlyFans. Have an awesome Saturday night, LinkedIn.
Amen, brother. Amen. Funny enough, I've had lunch with him naked. And he's, yeah, it was good fun. It was good fun. I had a private room, just me and him. And we were very open and honest with each other. We got a lot of good business done. And yeah, did we derive some good leads from it? Yeah, we did. Yeah, we bloody did. He did a LinkedIn status from that. But amen, brother. He's a guy.
He's a top boy.
He's a character.
Okay, and finally, we've got Tanvir Sultan.
Tam. Yeah. Good boy.
You a fan of his?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, wait to see what he said, mate. It's a bit divisive.
No, he's great fun on a night out. Great fun.
Well, he said, "Today, one of my employees asked for a raise purely because he was going to become a father. I instantly fired him on the spot. It's simple. Do you raise capital when your business is failing? Do you expand and hire new employees when you're at a loss? After working for me for so many years, he hadn't learned which one is an asset and which one's a liability. If you're only earning $2,500 a month, you should at the very least inform your boss that you're planning a family at one stage. I hired you to work, not to provide seed funds for your seed. Your salary is a clear indication of your contribution to society. If it's so low, how can you even think about reproduction? You're simply compounding your failures."
Tam, he drives a tough bargain, but some of it I agree with.
So you agree with that sentiment that you can just like ruin people's lives by saying you have to plan your family for years in advance?
Well, I mean, I didn't plan my family. Johnny came out of nowhere, just one hot, sweaty night. But, you know, in a way, it's enhanced my life. Because it's great for Instagram and engagement with fans.
Did you ask for more money when you had the baby?
No, because I get more money from Instagram.
Okay.
You know, like, because I got babies on there, people interact and like it, and then you follow.
But if you think, if your employee has to ask for money, that's an indictment.
I mean, it's a complex thing, Freddie. I don't want to get into it. But, you know, I know Tam, and, you know, he's a businessman at the heart of it, and that's what I respect about him.
Well, Archie, it's been wonderful to be with you again. Last week, you obviously had a knackering one because you had both this sort of double entendre of fireworks night and also Halloween, which you're probably exhausted about. We had that wonderful Halloween story when we had Hugo one just a couple of minutes ago. Quite a week ahead now?
Yeah, quite a week ahead. We got an away match in Surrey on Saturday, so yep. I won't be going out on Friday. It's a pretty rare thing, me going out on Friday. But it was for a long-time listener of the podcast, Peter Mullen.
Yep.
You should give him a shout out.
Yep.
Listens
out
every
Peter.
Week.
Yep. Big fan.
Yeah, he's a big fan. And so we decided, look, we've got to show face.
Yes.
And that was sort of a gift to him, really, us being there.
Yeah, nice little spot down the Aberfield
as
well.
Nice spot. Good place. I like the Aberfield Road. You get a good clientele down
there. Yeah, nice little villagey feel, isn't it?
Yeah. That's probably where I'm going to end up, in the Aberfield area.
If you can afford it.
No, I can.
Okay.
The thing is, but I just, at the moment, like I said, I'm Rolex very much into my watches.
Yeah. I haven't seen you wear a Rolex yet.
No, well, I'm out and about.
Okay.
I'm out and about.
I haven't even seen a photo. I just see the old iWatch you've got.
No, I'm always on my iWatch because I'm tracking. tracking my macros, tracking my steps, my calories, what goes in, what goes out.
Well, next week, bring the Rolex.
I'll bring the Rolex. You want to see it? I sometimes at home, I'll just put 8 on one hand.
Okay.
And I'll show you tonight. I'll send you a story.
Okay, cool.
So yeah, quite a weekend, mate. Probably going to head to the driving range Sunday morning, take Johnny Jono, just show her what it's all about. A wholesome weekend.
Do you put her on your back when you do the
go? No, I just put I bring a high chair, just put in there, put a couple of eggs on the high chair and she eats and I just hit balls.
Okay, good.
And then, you know, it's good for her to see what it's all about.
Quick one, return to the Prem, watched any of it, enjoyed it being back, or are you having a bit of a break from watching rugby?
Mate, I've absolutely enjoyed the Ruggers this weekend. Great to see some of the boys come back from the World Cup, get stuck
straight
in.
Into it.
The Saracens boys come in and they pump Leicester. But I tell you what, highly impressed with Harlequins at the weekend. Yeah. And we have got some pretty exciting news, haven't we, coming?
With the Quins?
In the coming weeks. Well, I don't want to say too much about it. But my God, it's going to be good content and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm very, very excited.
Well, we're incredibly excited. Are you good?
What
is that?
Yeah, I've got a stiffy.
You've got a stiffy? That's horrible.
I'm going to have to make my...
Can you get... Mate,
no, hold on. Don't look, because I'm just going to fold it.
Oh, mate.
Okay.
Just put that on your belt.
I'm going to go.
Oh, mate. Okay. Well, I'll see you next week.
Life is simple if you got faith. Oh, yeah. Don't have to choose, but I don't got none today. Life was easy yesteryear, oh yeah. I didn't have to move, but I never even got to know you. So baby, carry on in charge, 'cause I'm a full grown lonely car in the world without you. Beating by my side. And out of the dark, get your uncorrupted head. And into the light, you need not prepare. 'Cause I know you'll keep on traveling till you make your way back home. And I'll try to take care of your home.